Hey, it's B-Rad Celebrity Hairstylist, your host, one of your hosts for tonight. So I want to welcome to a new groundbreaking 12-week live podcast series that delves deep into the heart of the hairdressing world, promoting change, the way you view you, your salon experience forever. Hosted by the dynamic duo of myself and Mariana, two seasoned hairstylists with a passion for innovation and authenticity. This podcast is your guide to unlocking the power of change from the inside out. With candid live discussions, expert insights, and a touch of humor, myself and Mariana create a safe and inspiring space for listeners to embrace change, boost their self-esteem, and unlock their true potential. Are you ready to step into a world where hairdressing is more than just a service, but a path to personal growth and empowerment? Join me and Mariana on this new series and be part of the movement that's changing the hair industry from the inside out. Your journey to renewed confidence and self-discovery starts here. So this is episode 2, The Sensory Body. So if you missed part 1, you can always go back and you can watch it. Part 1 is the physical body. So we're going to start today on episode 2, the sensory body. So imagine your body is a symphony of sensations, an intricate orchestra of touch, taste, smell, sight, and sound, each instrument playing a unique and vital role in the composition of your experience. Your fingertips, delicate and responsive, dance across the surface of the world, translating its texture into tactile language. Your taste buds, the epicurean connoisseurs of life, savor the sweet and savory, the bitter and the spicy, painting a canvas of flavors on your palate. Inhale deeply, and your olfactory senses transport you into distant memories as scents become the invisible threads stitching the past to the present. Open your eyes, and the world unfurls in a kaleidoscope of colors and shapes, a visual masterpiece to behold. And in the quiet moments, your ears become portals to an auditory wonderland where laughter, music, and whispers of nature serenade the soul. The sensory body, a marvel of human experience, invites us to immerse ourselves fully into the rich tapestry of life, embracing every note, texture, taste, scent, and you it offers. We are live in this full presentation, and you're encouraged to like, comment, share, ask questions, and for the next 11 episodes, because we're on episode 2 in this series, we hope that all of you here will become family and embrace what is offered. So let's get started in the comments. So let us know where you're from. And if you are watching live or watching the replay, please share this live. Make sure to heart it up and let social media, the platforms know that you're enjoying this content. So for everybody watching in the comments, what are three words that come to your mind when you think sensory body? So I have mine, but we're going to hop on with our co-host or host as well. So Mariana Ibrahim. So Mariana has been working on this with me. So we're going to do 12 parts. Well, actually 11 now. We may have a bonus one at the end for everybody that kind of stays along with us and that sort of thing. So Mariana, what do you think of sensory body? So what kind of comes to you when you think of senses and sensory?
Oh, it's really quite deep. And it's for me, because I've been moving through my sensory body for years, and I allow it to really inform my internal body as to what's really going out externally. The first thing that I touch into is like what smells are around me, because it's the first thing that actually starts relating to me. So the sensory body to me is the outside world coming in. If I want to yeah, just like if I want to actually bridge that, it's about allowing the outer world to come into your inner world, and with more awareness as to what you're allowing in,
mm-hmm.
what you're allowing the outer world to inform your internal world, as you become aware, you start tuning into this really beautiful experience of life and living, because then you have choice of what you don't want to hear, or what you don't want to see, or what you don't want to taste, or what you don't want to touch. You actually start creating a world that resonates with you as a reflection of your own inner being. So the senses are an amazing communication tool, amazing. My favorite, actually, which is why we're here. Hey, Brad.
Exactly. And especially when you're working with clients too, you kind of get that as well, and kind of how you're sensing the person. Because as I say, if the person just came off the farm and they smell like the farm, that's going to come into you. That's how you feel. Same with aromatherapy, same with essential oils. Certain essential oils will kind of make you feel certain ways, or can kind of bring you, as I say, well, like I was saying before, certain memories, certain things can get triggered just by your sensory. Maybe, as I say, a certain smell, or how you see something, or and a lot of times those things, we're not even always conscious of them, because we're not always there and we're not always fully inside our bodies. Yes, we're there physically, but we're not always there. And I think people can relate. We're not always there, if we're truthful, 100% all the time, unless we make a conscious effort.
Totally. And I suppose, like, you know, bringing it back into the salon, I have to say, with, I mean, I know a lot of salons have actually moved to non-chemical based colors and products. So they're not so overwhelmed with the sense of chemical smells. And the reason why I'm actually going into smell first is it's actually the first sense that connects us to the outer world, is the olfactory sense.
Yes.
So it's, if we're bringing this into the salon, and if you're a client, if you put yourself in a client's shoe and they're walking into a space that's toxic, That immediate toxicity actually really informs them into protection. And this is, I'm sort of translating salon environmental now to what goes on in a client's body. Now, if that's going on in a client, it's actually also going on with the staff, with yourself, the hairdresser, in terms of how it's informing your inner world and its protective layer that it's creating, so that you don't absorb toxicity just through smell. That's just the first, the first sense.
Yeah, and that's sort of, as I say, I don't want to say trigger, because that's not the right word here. But as I say, if you're in a toxic environment, toxic meaning chemically toxic, not emotionally toxic, but chemically toxic, with using a lot of the ammonias, with using a lot of these high chemical products and things like that, when you're breathing them in, maybe most people don't notice, but it is also doing something to you. It can make you like tighten up in your chest. It can make your nose kind of seize up. It can make your head start to ache. It can make your, because a lot of times you don't even think of those things, but it's also changing how you feel. You may be outside, you went for a walk, you got some fresh air, you feel great. Now you're in this load of chemical, especially if you're in a salon with multiple stylists doing a lot of chemical work, a lot of highlights, balayage, you know, all kinds of color work, that sort of thing. And your company that you work for chooses to use toxic chemicals, or say not organic or things like that, it does really make a difference. Because I know for me, I had to change many years ago because those things were affecting me, even though it's kind of like, it's like an invisible kind of invader. You don't really see it using our senses, but you smell it.
And it directs you. So the thing that I want to actually bring to the listeners' attention that are tuned in here is that a lot of the stuff that we do that we might respond to is invisible. And one of the first invisible things that people will respond to is what they're smelling. And they're not really aware that it's affecting them on a very subtle level in their body and that they're responding. Like even, you know, if anybody listening has actually had this experience where you've actually walked into a room and it's taken you back 20 or 30 years back into your childhood and you don't know why. You're like, why am I having a nostalgic experience right now of, you know, remembering me as a 5 or 6 year old child playing this game or being in this space or eating this food or whatever it is? So the senses are constantly, there's a memoir, there's a whole library of experience that are associated, especially to olfactory smell, that are associated to the smell and are woven through the experience of our life. So in choosing the kind of smells that we have in the salon, the kind of smells that we wear on our body, the kind of smells that we have in our cars, in our homes, all of that, that help uplift. So essential oils are amazing, you know, for this kind of experience. But like smells that help uplift and awaken and expand and not contract and toxify and minimize. So that your experience becomes small and contracted instead of expanded and experienced in terms of open to what it is that you're exchanging with self, with clients, with team, and it opens you up. And it's amazing seeing these experiences go on in salons now where people are using essential oils now, and it's changing their environmental peace, the harmony. And that's just one, Brad. There's five.
Oh, there's five. Exactly. Five. Exactly. And before we wrap up and go to the next one, but smell too, I find that's a thing because especially with perfume, a lot of people will start with a little bit. They'll start adding more until eventually they walk in and you're like, whoa, but the person doesn't even realize anymore. Same with their home environment. They're in that smell and they kind of, it becomes part of them and they don't notice it anymore. Like somebody who has 12 cats or somebody that has animals at home or somebody that constantly is wearing, you know, strong aftershave or perfume and you can smell it strongly, but for them, they tend to not smell it as much. And I think too, that kind of, it's the same with our minds and how we kind of deal with that as well. There's certain things that are there, but eventually you kind of turn a deaf ear, so to speak, another sense sort of thing, or the joke is I could smell you coming a mile away. So and that's why I see, like, people don't say I can hear you coming a mile away, I guess if they're heavy footed, but they say I can smell you a mile away. So with that being the most heightened sense for most, like, so that's what it is. Are they strong, or is it that's the one that tells you, that's the first receptor that you use when you come into contact with people, with any kind of fragrances, with like that sort of thing. I think that's a big indicator right there. And then how you choose to use your other senses in conjunction or adjacent to that.
It's super powerful. I remember, like, just sharing a little story. I remember I wear an essential, an oil that actually gets made for me. And I've been wearing this oil for more than 25 years. And I wear it because it's actually reflective of my inner pheromones. It reflects my inner world, my inner language to the external world. So it's not obtrusive. It's actually quite inviting. And I remember a friend of mine saying, I smelt you before I even saw you. I knew you were here because I have a distinct smell. And it's a really important characteristic, which is what I want to bring in here, of your essence. And this is the part of getting to know yourself, like, who are you? Last week we did the physical body in terms of just looking at what is there. And this week we're like going on the first layer, which is the senses, the inner world of the senses. And it's like, who are you? And the sense of smell is the first layer of getting to know who it is that you are at your essence. So we're bringing, like, it's beautiful. It's like essential oil, essential smell, essence. Who is your, what is your essence? And identifying your authenticity as a hairdresser, this is part of the journey of identification of who it is that you are authentically. And it makes a huge difference to how you show up to your work, how you show up to yourself, how you show up to your clients, when you know what your essence is.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And once you use that essential oil, it's how, number one, it makes you feel, as you say, like having something uplifting, where if you're having something with orange notes, with lemongrass, with in my shop, we used to do geranium. So geranium has a very cordial effect on clients. So, or people just in general, it makes you feel better. It makes you feel less combative. It makes you feel, as I say, like more relaxed. But you have to remember too, any scent that you're using, that client's nose is going to pick up on your scent, just like you on theirs. So is your scent overpowering? Is your scent inviting? Or is your scent going to relax them when you're in, when they're in your chair?
Mm, totally agreed. You know, like BO is a really nice one to actually reflect back on that, you know, like eating garlic. And it, some people are really actually, they protrude the sense of garlic through their pores when they're working. I've known a lot of hairdressers that will refrain from eating garlic the night before in their food so that that doesn't happen the next day at work. So it's about the BO. This is like all part of like, how is your sense? Probably there's probably people out there right now maybe listening and having a sniff under their armpits or something and going, I wonder what my BO smells like.
Right. Well, and some salon, because literally when you're raising your arms, sometimes your pit is right over when they're at the shampoo bowl. And like you said, using a rare aromatherapy at the sink is one of the most incredible add-ons I think you can do. One, to relax the scalp, or if they have, or a tea tree, if they have dandruff, or using, you know, like that sort of thing, a peppermint or a lavender. Like, so because I used to do a fire and ice treatment for a lot of people that came in with headache or migraine. So it gave the relaxation of the lavender, but also the peppermint, which had those notes, which is great for headache. Right. So if you kind of know those things, that just makes it deeper. And that's a service that you can add on that can also be part of their experience. And that relaxes them automatically before they even go to your chair, or if the shampoo technician brings you over. And I call them shampoo technicians because that's what they should be. Anybody at that sink should be able to analyze the hair and recommend the right products. Not the stylist. I believe the technician should be the one doing it and not the receptionist at the front.
I totally agree with you. Wow. Like already I feel like even us having this conversation, it's taken what we do, you know, at the simplest of services, which I feel like in the old paradigm, a lot of people would have looked at what was going on at the basin as the, as the service is really not important and it's not impactful on the entirety of the service. And there's so many things that can go on, that can happen in terms of the arousal state of the client at that point. And if stylist and shampoo technician are actually in communication, in awareness of, hey, this client's got a headache, or this client is really busy and they've had a really busy day, or this client's feeling really depressed and really low, and they're communicating with one another, they can actually create an experience for that client.
Yes.
That will harmonize them, and not just harmonize them, but harmonize you. It's like this connection point between shampoo technician, between stylist and client, and bringing a resonance between the three and dropping everybody into the arousal state. So this is like, this is the human experience part that you and I are talking about here. It's like so important. This is just the part that enriches what it is that we're doing. We're actually involving the experience of the client. but also involving the importance of the kind of experience we also want to have with them.
Mm-hmm.
So by tuning in the sense of smell, first sense, tuning in that and actually making sure that it attunes into their arousal state and helps harmonize them is another point of, yeah, take that away and see how that works in the salon.
Yeah. Because as far as the experience, because what I did, which taps into what we talked about last week, the physical body, I not only added aromatherapy so I could see if there was something in their physical body. So number one, I cared enough. I connected with them. But we also had a towel warmer. So we also had heated towels for their neck and their back. Plus, I also had massage on the chair as well. So then that way they could be totally immersed. And then with the eyes, we had a Himalayan lamps, which gives soft lighting. So you don't have this bright light shining in your face, which induces them to relax and have experience. Because I know it looks like we're kind of moving towards the eyes, but how many people, when they're shampooing a client, is staring at you right in your face?
So, oh my God. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's one thing. So when the eyes connect, there's another moment there when the eyes connect. But the same sort of thing. The other way you can do it is you place a warm towel over their eyes. And then they have the aromatherapy. They're there. They're feeling the heat. They're feeling the warmth. You know what I mean? If your salon is more upscale and you want to add a little throw on to them, you know, so you make it like something. But when they come in and they come to that shampoo area, you want to make sure that you're using as many of the senses. So you're taking care of their physical body, which if you're good at what you do, you can tell when people have tension, when people have stress, when people have that sort of thing. You can feel that with your fingers. You can see it on their face with your eyes. You can, as I say, you can smell it. Some people can. They can smell ailments. You know, some people can smell, like dogs can smell cancer. There's certain things that you can feel when, because a lot of people, when I used to work at the sink, they would say, how did you know? Because I was attuned to them. They were the center of my universe at that point. So because I really cared about them and their experience. So that's where you really need to connect. They're going to connect at the beginning with the receptionist, but normally it's the shampoo technician, whoever's going to shampoo their hair, whether it's the stylist or the technician, that's going to bring them back. Make sure that from that moment they walk in the door, that you're connected. So physically, sensory, and then when we do the next few, that way as well, I won't spill too much tea, but the other parts of the body. But I think this is one thing in schools that we were never taught. They tell us, yes, how to go to clients, maybe how to talk to clients, but they don't really show us how to connect with clients and starting with the physical body, which is a great place where Mariana and I are starting. So do you have anything to add, Mariana?
I also wanted to add, like, you know, at the basin, what's really important that I find is being attuned to the sounds that you've actually got playing in the background as well. Yeah. And yes. I've often walked into salons in the past where they've got really loud, you know, like
thumping
music with a deep bass. And, you know, as a relaxing client, that is not relaxing. And if you were to put yourself in a position of a client at the basin having an experience, being attuned to the sound, which is actually the second sense, really, that the body attunes to its smell and then sound. It's the most invisible aspects of the senses that the body tunes into first to communicate to the body about whether this place is safe or this place is not, and how the body needs to respond, how it's like protecting the self of moving into a space. So sound is so important to it. And it's like every element. And if we're really, again, like we were actually having these sessions to expand the palette of experiences that a hairdresser can have with a client. And it's not just they come in, do their hair, have a wash, have a blow dry and leave. It's actually like, no, there are so many elements that you can actually bring in to enrich what's going on And the senses is like from the smell to sound to touch to taste, even taste, like the beverages and food and stuff we're actually offering them. All of these actually add the expansion of experience to the client.
Exactly. Yeah, and with sound, that's the same sort of thing. And I think a lot of salons, they play that fast beat pounding, thumping music because they want high turnover, because it's get the client in, get the client out. If I pay flat, if faster music is played, the staff is going to work faster. See, in my shop, we had it very laid back. We had more high-end clientele. So I think that's the one thing too, is defining who you are. So know your clientele. If your clientele is young and hip and they like that dance music and that's your vibe, then create the experience around that. But if your clientele wants to come in for an experience, not a service, an experience, you have to really think that through. And that's part of it. Let's say we had soft music in the back, but as I say, even some of the my staff, they were like, well, why do we have to listen to this? The thing is, for me, when I'm working, I actually tune the music out because I'm so focused on the client and what I'm doing, I'm not letting that affect me. But also too, with our ears, that's the same sort of thing. How are we using our ears to listen to our clients? If we're not doing proper consultations, and that's through listening, because are you listening to hear, or are you listening to respond, or are you listening and waiting till they be quiet before you can say something? And what happens when the dryer turns on? So there's another element going into your ears. So, and if you can't really hear the client and you're, and the client's like, yeah, my dog died, my house just burnt down, somebody broke into my car and stole, and you're like, that's great. Oh yeah. Well, so, and then they're kind of, and you're like, why are they looking at me funny? Because you're not really listening. So, or I'll say, I can put the dryer on lower, or, I'd love to hear I really want to spend this time to connect with you, listen to what you have to say. My dryer is a little bit loud and I can't really hear every word you say. So if they know that and they're talking, then they're going to know, okay, they may not hear every word, because a lot of us, because we can listen, we're not deaf, we don't read lips. So we want to make sure we're as connected and as authentic with our clients, with how well we can hear, because they're there to pay for your time. They're not there for you to hear you talking to the person across the aisle. They're not there to hear you yell at the receptionist to grab the phone because you're too far away, even though your station is right beside the front desk. They're not here, because that's a thing too. It's what we hear, but it's also what the clients hear as well. What kind of things are your clients hearing? Are they hearing a lot of gossip? Are they hearing a lot of knowledge? Are they hearing a lot of, I really want to see you again, I really love spending time with you? That all adds to their experience. So what they smell, as I say, whether you have BO, whether you have a pleasant scent, whether you have, what kind of music are you playing? What kind of, you know, what are they hearing? So if you were to walk into your shop, what would you hear? And I think hearing too, if we're going to go inside, what do we hear internally while we're working? So I see you have a smile on your face, Mariana. Do you want to interject?
I just want to go back to this moment of gossip that you just brought up. In terms of hearing.
Tell me all about it. What do you
think? Exactly. Like, I just want to go back to that point. And I just want to actually mention that, you know, apart from clients aren't really, I mean, they might come across like they're interested in gossiping because they're maintaining the conversation of shallowness and not wanting to deepen. But on a hairdresser's front, if you allow that kind of relational experience to go on between you and a client, what it does is actually it depletes your energy. And that's what a lot of hairdressers don't realize. Gossip is draining. It's not fulfilling and enriching. And it also fills the space with toxicity. You know, and we'll get into energetic toxicity when we get further on, but it does fill the space with toxicity, and your sensory body is actually absorbing that, and it's recycling that through you, through what you're hearing, what you're saying, and what you're smelling, this toxicity is actually like recycling through you and it's coming forwards. And that's probably what will happen to a hairdresser at the end of the day in terms of burnout, exhaustion, all that, because they're recycling toxicity. So to take it seriously, I just want to take it, you were saying, let's go deeper, let's go more inward. To take it seriously, what you say, what you hear, and how you respond to this, if we're looking at the hearing aspect, is really important to the outcome of the end of your day and how well you want to feel at the end of your day. And gossip is a really big one in the salons that really needs to be eliminated. It really is not a healthy exchange. I just wanted to speak to that because it's a big deal in hairdressing, you know, like they think, oh, you know, like, oh, so what's been going and so-and-so's been doing da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And it's this like engagement, which isn't nourishing.
No, and you think it, most people think it's normal conversation. Right. Or you think if I don't gossip or I don't hear gossip, then I have nothing to say to the client. Well, as a professional, you should be talking to them about their, you know, products, their lifestyle, their, you know, what kind of services can you offer them? That's what you should be talking about. When, you know, when to rebook them, get them on a cycle, you know, if holidays are coming up, make sure they get in. So those are things you should be talking about. If they want to talk, you be there to listen. Or if they want a silent appointment, then honor that. Because some people just want to come and they hear so much of this from everywhere else. Sometimes they just don't want to hear it. And like you say, you can, which will go into one of our next ones, it does seep into our energetic body, which is another podcast we'll be doing. So make sure to stay tuned and listen for that. But yeah, why am I so depleted when I get home? Why am I so drained when I get home? Why am I so tired? Why do I feel burned out? Which makes total sense. If you're taking in negative, it's going to have a negative effect through your ears. Or why are my ears ringing? Why are my, you know, why are my ears burning? You know, and chances are if somebody talked to you about someone else, they're talking about you to someone else. And then they're going to say, oh, that person said, and, you know, like that sort of thing. It's such a big topic on its own. But as I say, we also, for those joining us, we have already covered sense of smell. And then, as I say, like, and a lot of it happens really at the shampoo basin, touch, touch we haven't got into, but we'll go into, and sound, but that really makes a big difference. Like, I find this so fascinating, just Marianne and I talking as live salon owners, as licensed hairstylists, as professionals, as people that have really connected with their clients and really kind of created an experience for them, which I believe is what we should do, is create experience. Get rid of I'm just a service provider. Yes, you are providing services, but you're also providing that that experience sort of thing. So we have a Facebook user who says, I was working for 13 hours a day in New York City and was exhausted just talking. So that's exactly it. So when you're talk, it has its toll. And as I say, it's going to have it. So last week we talked about the physical body, which has an effect on. Today we're talking about the sensory body. Then in an upcoming episode, we'll talk about the energetic body, but they're all connected because all this kind of then goes into the kind of the next body, but one builds onto the next one. So, you know, being exhausted and 13 days, because I've done 13 hour days, 14 hour days standing, especially if you have no breaks. And that's one thing too, basically taking care of your physical body, which we talked about last week, making sure you're getting proper hydration, making sure you're getting proper nutrition. And if you're standing and you're not taking breaks, you're not hydrating, you're not getting out, you're not getting out for a walk for 5-15 minutes, whatever, you're not getting some sunlight, some vitamin D, you're not getting some fresh air, that's all going to affect you. And it's also going to affect your sensory body also coming in. If you're already exhausted, you're going to take, you're going to take things in differently. You're going to, I think, smell differently. You're going to hear things differently. You're going to, you know, use your mouth differently. You know what I mean? And probably how you handle clients, you know, with your other senses is going to kind of do that as well. Thank you for that, for sharing about being exhausted, because I think exhaustion is one of the biggest things in our industry. And people don't know why am I so exhausted? I do all the right things. Why am I still exhausted?
I mean, you know, like I get this a lot, and I'm going to speak it and share it. Is like, people, a lot of hairdressers come to me and they want a quick fix. How can I stop doing, how can this stop happening? How can da 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 da? And it's like, it's not a quick fix, guys. It's a slow, incremental neuro change of your behavioral patterns and awarenesses that we slowly need to incrementally change over time. And that happens through every single body. So I just, it's a slow process, guys. It's like 12 months with me, but it's like, it's a slow process of slowly looking at what smells arouse you and actually help you feel relaxed. What sounds help you, you know, come into your body and actually also make you feel relaxed? What are the senses? What are the, you know, all the other pieces that we're going to go to? But you're talking about communication as well. And we will look at that in a much broader scale, because communication is a huge subject in what we do and how we communicate and how we understand nonverbal cues and all the rest of it, which we'll look into it in another podcast, I'm sure, Brad. Mm-hmm. But for now, it's just answering to the call of, it takes time. Like, the exhaustion of listening for 13 hours, if you had skills in terms of attunement and boundaries of self and going, hey, I've got the power here to actually say, hey, I've been speaking for a couple of hours, and I'm going to have the hairdresser saying, I'm going to have a silent session with you, if that's okay, because I'm feeling exhausted. I'm still present with you, but I can't talk right now. And like, shifting that gear into going, hey, you actually have a choice to say that. You can say that to a client, and you can reserve your energy. You don't have to keep on selling yourself short. Mm-hmm. I was looking for a really elegant word.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. And a lot of people don't think, like, a lot of stylists don't think they can create boundaries. Like, maybe you have some overwhelm from some loud music. Maybe you have, like, from a client had a strong perfume, and you're like, I just need to breathe. And if I keep talking, I'm going to dry out. And I think that's kind of one way we are changing, is to say, yes, a client can request a silent appointment. What about the hairstylist? And I think, yes, Marianne, it's true. You can do it in a nice way. And most clients are cool with that. They're not going to say, I don't think most people are going to say, no, I'd rather talk for the whole time I'm here. Maybe some do, and that sort of thing. But I think we also know which clients can do it. And sometimes it's nice just to take that pause, take that break for ourselves, for our body, for our sensory body. Sometimes we just need to. So give yourself that permission slip to say, yes, I can ask. What's the client going to say? If they say no, then they say no. But at least you've asked in a nice way to say, hey, I just need to take a breather, whether it's 5 minutes, maybe it's a whole session. But then just say, yeah, this is what I need, especially working those long days, like, and especially holiday time, which we're going to come up to holiday time. Your sensory body, I think, is going to become overwhelmed. You know what I mean? And knowing when to, you know. So I'd like to know in the comments, everybody who's listening, if you want to put in, how do you choose to relax? Like, what type of music do you listen to? Or what kind of scents do you use? Do you use aromatherapy? Do you like a certain scent that you wear that kind of brings you an equilibrium, or kind of brings you to a calm space? I'd like to hear that in the comments, and we'll pop them up. So
I also want to add, People just wanted to hear my accent. Nice one. How exhausted did that leave you at the end of the day?
Exactly. So they just want to talk so they can hear your accent, you know? So, yeah.
I just want to add, Brad, sorry.
Go ahead.
Another thing that, you know, I want to suggest to hairdressers is you can keep certain aroma essential oils in your pockets or mm-hmm. in your apron or whatever on you. And if you're feeling overwhelmed, you know, like lavender is a really great one. Clary mm-hmm. sage is a really great one as well, you know, like essential oils that you can just dab on your temples or on the back of your neck or just in the front of your chest that actually help you settle. If you've had a really big, you know, a big client or a big conversation or a big experience that just happened with a client and you need that little bit of respite, keeping these oils that work for you, working out what oils work for you for different times of the day mm-hmm. and having them on you to dab and to use as tools. These are also tools for you, for your nervous system and for your well-being to make sure that you're taken care of. Self-care for the hairdresser first is what I'm saying, because that actually propels into the session that you're having with your client. They see the self-care that you're taking for yourself, and it also inspires them of respecting mm-hmm. their stylist, respecting them as a person, and not as a robot, which happens with a lot of exchanges, because there is a sense of taking care of self.
Exactly. And I used to carry like little 5 mil bottles, just tiny ones. You can mm-hmm. open it up. You can inhale it, you mm-hmm. know, and then, as I say, because a lot of times these scents can really change your, you know, how you interpret, or they say bring you that calm, or you have a rough day and you feel like a headache's coming on. Maybe you're dehydrated. Maybe you're just being drained, you know, breathe in that peppermint or breathe in that lavender or that sort of thing. It really does make a big difference.
Yeah. So the senses are really, they're powerful. It's a powerful communication center, and becoming aware of how you respond to your senses and what kind of environment you want to create through your senses for your pleasure, for your own personal pleasure, mm-hmm. and which also includes obviously the hairdresser's pleasure, but for your own personal pleasure, so that at the end of your day, you're feeling bouncy and alive because you've had this fabulous day of, like, you've had the right music, you've had the right beverages, you've taken care of yourself, you've had some vitamin D, you've gone out for a walk, you've had great, deep, rich conversations with your clients that have enriched your soul, which mm-hmm. actually accumulate to the kind of day that you'll end with as well. And this is all an accumulation. And we all know when we've had a fast, busy, exhausting, demanding day, at the end of the day, you're just like, hands up, please stop. When you get home, don't talk to me. I don't want to hear another person speak. I just need quiet time. You don't want to get to the end of the day and feel like that, because that is unsustainable for the longevity of a career in this industry. Mm-hmm. And this is why these finite details of really looking at all of this small, intricate stuff helps you extend your career and sustain your career in enjoyment and love for it.
Exactly. And to add to that, as I say, it's okay for hairdressers, beauty industry professionals, to have boundaries. You can have boundaries at work. You can have boundaries. That's really going to be, you know, as I say, everything we've had so far is great, but I think that's a great takeaway, is it's okay to have boundaries. Whether you work for yourself, whether you work for someone else, you can also say, start listening to your body. Start listening, because I think you can't give 100% if you're not 100%. And if that means saying, we're going to do a silent appointment for this round, or I need to step out for a few minutes and breathe in fresh air. Mm. I need to listen to the birds. I need to speak positively over my life. You know, as I say, I need to touch a tree and ground, or touch my feet to the ground and earth myself, whatever it might be, you can kind of utilize those senses. So we've already talked about, as I say, we've already talked about, so the nose, the sense, we've talked about the ears, the sound. So where do we move next?
Vision. The third sense that the body organically taps into is sight. So we have smell, sound, and then sight is the third sense. Mm. So this is like aesthetics, you know, like environmental harmony, I like to call it. It's like, is everything clean? Is everything in place? Is everything harmonized? Are the aesthetics in synchronicity with one another? Do they actually bring pleasure to your eyes? You know, because it's vision here. So this is another sense that when we're looking at the environment, is there green? Is there soft palettes that are actually allowing your environment, your sense of relaxation, where you walk in and go, oh, I can drop here. You know, for yourself and then for the client. But if you walk in, if a client walks into a busy salon and there's towels everywhere and there's trolleys everywhere and there's people everywhere and there's nothing's cleaned up and stuff's left behind, it actually creates chaos in their body. That's their body response when they go, oh, this is chaotic. This is energetically not pleasing. It's not aesthetically harmonious. So vision is the next one. Like, what kind of environment are you actually creating that relaxes your sense of sight, that helps you ease?
Exactly. And color choice, I think, is a big thing, because like if you choose a yellow for your walls, you choose an orange or a red, those are big power colors. So like Mariana said, like having a soft palette. So if you have at the sink, you're using aromatherapy, you have soft music. If your palette is soft in the salon or neutral. So even I chose for this show, you're seeing very neutral, earthy tones, right? So it's not a bright purple wall, and there's nothing wrong with bright purple wall if that's your vibe and it's energetic and it's this and it's that, but it's what the eyes see. They're going to assess the way your salon is, the way that you are, the way you dress, because they're going to see that. And we all do it subconsciously within the first, you know, 75 seconds, which is a long time, but even seven and a half seconds, people assess just by, with their eyes, just by seeing you. They've never met you. They've never heard you. They haven't smelt you. You know what I mean? So they don't really know anything about you. But if what they see is displeasing, they're automatically, I think, going to dislike the service. In their head, because they're already displeased, they're going to find anything they can to justify what they saw. So they're going to pick at every little thing, rather than if everything is pleasing and wonderful and relaxed. As I say, if you're high energy and that's your shop, you know, go for it, be high energy, but make sure that when that client comes in and what they see harmony within that energy. You know, sort of thing. So when they come in, they're part of it. They're everybody can be chatting, not gossiping, but everybody chatting, complimenting each other. Wow, I really love that balayage you just did. Hey, I love that. You know, high five for this. Those are great things to have in your shop. And those are things you should be talking about, you know, or say, hey, you know, look at this. This, I just use this on my client. I can't believe the results. They're seeing it. Then they're also going to touch it. They're going to smell it. They're going to feel it. They're going to use it. Right. So get your client involved in the experience. Right. Mm-hmm. Don't just say, hey, I have a product. If you want it, it's at the front. The receptionist will ring it through for you. So that's something else they're hearing, but they want to see also how you handle yourself. They want to see you as a professional. They want to see, and what do you see when you walk into your own shop as an owner? What do you see yourself if you're a stylist? Would you yourself go to your own shop? You know, would you go in? So when you look, because clients will, if there's any kind of mess, any ring of hair around your station that has, if you have a dirty bathroom and that's what they see, they're not going to be happy. I don't think most of us would be happy if we went in somewhere and there was a mess, you know, in the bathroom, because that's the least, most neglected place, but it's the first, you know, it's the first place that people kind of, and I've told this story before, but I had a stylist that came in and she said, before I say yes, I want to see your bathroom. Because she said, if I see your bathroom and it's, because that's the most, as I say, that's the most neglected place, because everybody hates cleaning the bathroom. But then again, wouldn't you want to come in to a bathroom, because you use it as well, to be there, have it clean, fresh smelling, fresh towels, visually appealing, everything looks clean aesthetically. You know, that really makes a big difference. And I love the person that put the hands up or the thumbs up. So basically, if you can, if you want to, you can put your name beside your comment or at the beginning. First name is fine. You don't have to put your full name. And then we know who you are, because I love to shout you out. And I love seeing those comments and I love shouting you out. So it's a great way to be interactive with Mary Anna and I. We are live and we love having you here. Yeah. So those are those. And it's funny. And that's how that, but just because that stylist worked that way, I find a lot of people work that way. Clients work that way. A lot of them won't say, verbalize or say anything, but you just may not see them again. Right. And you're like, oh, how come they didn't come back? Or they book an appointment because they feel they pressured to, but then they all of a sudden say, oh, I can't make it now, you know? So it's because of what they visually saw. Yeah.
I just want to throw in there with that, Brad, is that we lose clients. Salons and hairdressers lose clients, not because of the hairstyle or their hair work we've done. You will, I would say, I'm going to put this percentage on it myself, from having a businesses myself and from experiences and also my clients, I would say about 80% of what you will, the reason why you will lose a client will be because of the environment, the experience, and the way that they felt in your space, more so than what you did. You could give someone the most amazing haircut and color and whatever, but if they did not feel good in the space, they will not return. So this is like really high on the priority list of concern and care, whether you're a business owner or whether you're just a stylist and working in a salon. Even if you're just a stylist working for someone, it's still important. These elements are still important as to how you show up as a professional, because being a professional doesn't just mean being a great hairstylist. Being a professional means being a professional all round, being aware of every element of your environment through your senses, through your aesthetics, through your communication, through your sounds, through all of it. This is like, we're talking holistically here, you know, and this is the holistic model of professionalism.
Exactly. And say with the Facebook user here, people won't remember what you said. They remember how you feel and how you made them feel. And that's exactly it. So how you make them feel really, I believe, is part of the sensory body, because with those senses really adds to that experience. And how, you know, so it's not always like Mariana said, you can be the best haircutter in the world and still lose clients. Because maybe you have no personality, or that person has no personality, and the client really wanted to connect, or they seemed unconnected with the person. Or as I say, when you're kind of from the very first moment, I say even before they step in your salon, like what the outside of your salon, they visually see outside your salon, are your stylists outside smoking? And there's one salon I pass by almost every day when I'm out walking. One or two hairstylists from that salon are always out front smoking. And because I don't smoke, for me, it actually, I'm allergic to smoke and this all seizes up. So it's not really good for me. So those are things where if you're not realizing a lot of that stuff, it makes a big difference. But I think right from, what we have also said too with hearing, what do they hear on the phone the first time they call your salon before they even see the front of your building? So they saw your ad, they call your salon. What did they hear from the receptionist who answered the phone? Did it invite them in and they want to come? Or did the person actually really care that they were going to come to that salon? Or they could have said, you can go down the road and, you know, like that sort of thing. But so, yeah, sorry, I have to go. Thank you. Well, thank you for joining us. And you can always watch the replay of this. We're always glad that people come and join in. It's always an interesting talk. What Marianne and I say is totally unscripted. So it's just out there and it's just from real life experience and you sharing your experiences with us as well. But that's the thing that people don't think. I think it really happens before you get inside the shop. It really happens inside the shop, but it really happens before. And it's what kind of systems you have in place. What kind of things do you, you know, have you trained your receptionist to connect? Have you trained your staff to have a guideline of, you know, how to say it, what to say, to make them feel like you're seen, you're heard, you're appreciated. We really want you to be part of our salon family, right? And then once they come, they see everything, they smell everything, they feel everything. And this is what it is. We say, you know, for stylists, and this is how we're changing the game, stop with just doing services, and you want to create that holistic experience with the client.
Yeah, absolutely. Totally there. And I, with the another little element to add to that, Brad, is like the tone of your receptionist, you know, like really tuning into tone. So if we're actually going into the sense of hearing, the tone of your receptionist is the tone of the receptionist that's answering those calls inviting in terms of, is it calm? Is it relaxed? Is it open? Is there a smile? Does the other person on the other end feel a smile, feel the warmth? Like, this is even deeper. We're tapping into the next body here, but is the sense of feeling coming through the tone of that person making those calls? Another element to add to that, do you use feedback sheets in your salon where you have, you allow your clients to actually give you feedback on their experience? Like, what would they change? What did they enjoy? So are you constantly in engagement, in communication with your clients and their needs and their experience, so that you're constantly upgrading and connecting and giving your clients what they really want, really hearing your clients of their experience and their needs as well? So this constant engagement, there's a couple of things, just that was one of them to throw in there, but the tone I notice is really important, and making sure that even your own tone when you're communicating with your clients, that tone of, is it depressed? And if it's depressed, it's okay. But like, you can actually speak to that, go, hey, I'm having a sad day, and I'm having a sad day because this happened or that happened. And that gives this opportunity for authentic conversation to occur, which is the holistic. You know, this whole thing is about us bringing holistic mindset to the way that we're relating and communicating in the salons, and also allowing our clients and our hairdressers here to understand that we can have authentic experiences and not have to pretend to be inauthentic, which is, again, burnout.
Exactly. And burnout is such a big thing. But I think, too, having the feedback forms are great, but you also have to be willing to hear what your customers, what your staff have to say, and willing to make change. Because never be a owner that thinks you're above everyone else. Because without any staff, you're not going to have a shop. Without any clients, the stylists aren't going to have any jobs. So we're dependent on the income from the person that comes in. So if we're going to serve anybody, those are the people we really need to serve and take care of, but that are also in alignment. As you say, your vibe is your tribe, and you will attract who is your, if you're a high energy salon and you like young happening stylists, or if you're a more high-end salon that does a lot of more luxury services, then, you know, you kind of have to know and draw the right people, or do through communication, which it looks, we're kind of going into the voice and speaking, but you know, that really from the time that they, and that should be something too, with the tone of the person that answers the phone, to make sure that this client, find out what the client is looking for. And if your shop is the right client, like people say, we can do everybody. Truth is, you probably can't successfully. You can do, if you're great at wedding hair and your shop is perfect at updos, why not have a niche and specialize? If you do kids and you love kids and you want tons of kids, then do kids. Get funky race car, you know, things, and you know, there's lots of salons that specialize, but really knowing who you are, your authentic self and your authentic business, you're going to attract the right people. So as we go forward, what's the next thing, Mariana?
I've got taste for the next one, because the first thing that happens is the first thing that will happen when a client's actually being greeted, smells the salon, hears the sounds, and sees the space. The next thing after that is they're going to receive a beverage. They're going to receive maybe some food, maybe some whatever. And it's like tuning into the environment that you have and how those tastes meet that. Like, are you serving really good quality herbal teas? Mm-hmm. Are you putting aesthetically, are you putting those herbal teas in a beautiful teapot and actually placing that teapot with a gorgeous cup that's going to be aesthetically pleasing to the client? And inspiring for them to taste the beverage that you've given them. And also, have you tuned into the state of that client and chosen with them the kind of beverage that would suit their arousal state? This is like really deep, like stuff. Yeah. And it's like, okay, so maybe a client's had a really busy day, or they're having a busy day and they're hectic. And maybe the right thing for them at that time is to give them a little bit of nettle, a little bit of lemon balm, and a little bit of lavender, and actually make them a handmade herbal tea that suits their arousal state. And understanding, just as an example, that's what I do in my space. I actually design teas specifically per client, but I do boutique work. So I'm working one-on-one with a client. I don't have a whole salon. So you might find a selection of great tea. Hence, if you actually notice that I'm not saying coffee here, as because it's a really high energy stimulant and it's a burnout stimulant. So I really refrain from having coffee in my spaces, and I don't actually offer coffee, and I don't offer anything with caffeine in it. Because I don't really feel it allows someone to drop authentically into themselves, and you don't end up having an authentic experience with them because of the stimulant that's actually occurred. It changes their state. So be mindful of the beverages that you're offering people and whether it's going to change, uplift their state so that you have an inauthentic experience. But then again, if you're in a high vibe salon, and clients are coming into your space because they're offered that glass of champagne on arrival. They're offered, you know, a great espresso that's made from an amazing coffee machine, and that's your vibe, then make sure, again, aesthetically, like, is your vibe meeting your tastes? Is the smell of your place, the vision of your place, the sound of your place meeting the taste of your place, and people are actually having this beautiful harmonious experience based on the vibe and the tone that you have set for the kind of experience that you're offering your clients.
Exactly. And do you want to work on a client that is now has a buzz on, you know what I mean? They have the stimulant on, and especially with caffeine too. It's also, it also dehydrates as well. So then again, with your choices of beverages. So one that I think we should consider, do you serve beverages? Are you going to serve snacks? Are you willing to go and get clients lunch? Do you have something prepared, or are you going to offer a biscuit or something with the tea that you have. And especially if somebody comes in who's totally exhausted, do you think they need caffeine to get wired, or should you give them something that's more relaxing so they can enjoy that time and that experience with you? So when they leave, they're like, I feel so relaxed, but not on a stimulant high. Right. Mm-hmm. So there is a difference with that. And two, when you're serving it, as I say, there, you can get a little teapot, as I say, serve it on a tray, have it there, put your whatever you add into it. But you have herbal tea. I find you don't really need a lot of sugar. You don't need a lot of that extra, you know, kind of stuff. You could have maybe some lemon or things like that. But with all that, too, like, I know it's easier if you don't use a porcelain cup, but somebody who wants an experience does not want to drink from a paper or a plastic cup. You know, mm-hmm. it doesn't taste the same. And especially too, if they know you're creating for them, and if you don't have time to create, obviously there's lots of lavender or chamomile or some great, you don't want them falling asleep either, but you want that nice kind of balanced, so just kind of a neutral, relaxed state. Not so they're now feeling so tired that, you know, they can't drive home because you've given them too much valerium you know, exactly. we don't need that, but that's really all part of the experience, because these are a lot of things I think a lot of salons are missing. You know, they're like, what about the expense? It costs too much to get this. Oh, the assistants, they don't want to wash 14 cups, or they don't want to, you know what I mean? If this is part of it, and you, when they come to say, or have a meeting and say, we're going to start to change things from the inside out. So mm-hmm. within our establishment here, we want to make a better experience for our clients that come in that support this salon being open, that support your paycheck, that support your, as I say, but it's not about the services, it's about the experience. Once you change and you pay for an experience, that's totally different than paying for a service. Because everybody thinks across the board, all services should be the exact same price. When you charge for an experience, that's totally, totally different. But we'll probably get deeper into that on a different podcast. But
but it's a really important point, you know, like, a lot of people, like you were saying, a lot of hairdressers are probably listening to this going, oh my God, that's going to cost me a fortune. And I don't make enough money to cover that. Oh, yes, you do. You charge mm-hmm. for it. It's actually, you put that into the costing of the service, and you actually cost out every element of the experience that you're bringing in to your clients. And it mm-hmm. actually is an additive to the cost of that experience that you're giving to that client. Mm-hmm. So the client is paying for it, and you'll find that clients will pay to have mm-hmm. a positive experience and will be happy to pay the 10, 20% more for that experience than to just get a haircut. And the ones that don't want the experience will go to a barbershop mm-hmm. that doesn't offer an experience but just gives them a straight haircut, because they don't want any of that stuff. No. So you'll end up attracting, just be aware and not bring fear into this. You'll end up attracting the clients that meet you and the mm-hmm. experience that you want to offer. So if you tune into the experience that you want to offer and it's authentic to you, those mm-hmm. clients will actually find you and meet you in that.
Exactly. And I know a barber, the same sort of thing. What he did, he leveled up the experience, brought in aromatherapy, brought in scalp massage, brought in a beverage or ad sports on the TV, whatever, for his clientele. And his clients had no problem paying $250, because when they went, he spent the time with them. So it was 45 minutes to 90 minutes, but it wasn't that, you know, 7 to 15 minutes, you're in and out and you're done. You're going to get those clients, and that's what they want. And that's fine, because they're going to go to establishments that provide that, like you said, that don't want that extra, the extra, but the people that want an experience, they're more than happy to pay for the experience. And I think most clients would opt to get more than opt to get less sort of thing.
I totally agree with you. And, you know, I also want to speak to the people that are listening to this or will listen to this about mm-hmm. if you're a boutique salon and you're actually just doing one-on-one, you're working from home or you've actually got a one-on-one sort of business model, you can really deeply play with this, like really deeply play with this, because that's actually the way that I work when I'm actually seeing clients. How I do is I actually tune the whole experience to the one person. Everything from the aesthetics to the smell to the taste to the sounds, everything. And I change the sounds and the smells throughout the whole session with my clients to meet their emotional state. So this is like even deepening. And like I prefer doing one-on-one work when I am working, because I give that client 100% of an experience that fulfills their soul and their mind and their body and their spirit. And it's not just about what they walk out with their hair. It's how they feel and how expanded they are when they leave. So also bringing into this, like the element of, we're talking about salon, but there's also, there's a lot of boutique salons. There's a lot of people that just rent a chair and they're just having an experience with one person at a time, and they're not running a big show either. And it's so conducive. This model that we're talking about, this holistic model of tuning in, is so conducive to the one-on-one and to the one-to-many. So it's like, how do you tune in your senses based on the experience and the environment that you're holding as well? So it's transferable. All of this is transferable to your experience.
Exactly. And I think as you're replenishing your client, you're also replenishing yourself in turn, helps you avoid burnout. Because when you're doing several clients at one time and you're not 100% focused on, so maybe you have one under the dryer or one with a chemical on, one in your chair, one being shampooed because they're next. And that's you're like, you're triple booked all day. So, and I think that's why a lot of people get burned out as well, but opting to really focus and really work on that one client and create an experience, I think is really a game changer with how you're going to, because you think, so as you started, how many years do you think you're going to be in this industry? So by the end, or even the first couple of years, do you already want to be burnt out? Do you only want to work one day now because you can't handle any more than that? Or do you want to be able to enrich your life and enrich someone else's life by creating an authentic experience for both you and your client?
And the deeper we go into this series that we're doing, the more sense that will make in terms of how that will unpack and unfold in this. But like where we're starting off is actually with your own self, is like knowing where your sense of self is at, where your physical body is at so far, and where everything that actually is an extension from there, and recognizing that we can actually have pay by the hour based on the worth that you feel your service and experience to your client is valued at. And this is a very important cue here. It's like, instead of being triple booked to make up for that 1 hour, why don't you charge one person for what you would for a triple book for your hour? You know what I mean? And you give that one person all the experience, which is what you're sharing with, it's sharing before, and hone that into focus there, and making sure that you're actually making more money, not getting burnt out, and actually feeling fulfilled and not exhausted, and sustaining and enriching another person's life, and still at the end of your day making whatever it is that you've set value of what you want your day to be worth at the time. And that will change over time as your services expand, as what you offer is enriched, and what you're putting on the table for them as the expenses grow as well. So this is like it's all adjustable. All of this stuff is adjustable.
Exactly. And if you can hit all the senses with your client, I think then you've hit a home run, because most salons are usually lacking in one or more of these. So if you're really taking into consideration, really taking a look, really kind of investing yourself, because this is going to be your livelihood. This is going to be your retirement. This is going to be your and say, you know, so you're leaving your, the word's escaping me now, but as I say, like what you're a legend for or things like that, you're going to leave that. So legacy. So this is going to be your legacy. So, and you'll be remembered for something. So why not be remembered for like the best experience someone had in their life? Even if they only come to you once, maybe they're from somewhere else, but they came to your salon and they keep talking about it for years and years and years because of the amazing connection and hitting all those senses.
The notes. This is like, I put this, I want to actually refer this to a really great fine wine. You know, mm-hmm. when you have a really beautiful glass of wine, to wine drinkers, I'm not a wine drinker anymore, but I used to be, and I used to, mm-hmm. I can actually really bring this experience to that note when you have an amazing glass of wine that hits all the notes. You know, it hits all the notes in you when you have it, like, and it awakens every sense from your sense of smell to your taste to your experience that you're having with that wine and what it actually opens up with you. This is what I'm talking. It's the notes. What are the notes? And the sensory body are the notes. They're the notes to the experience that you're offering your clients. So what are those notes? What are the notes? What do they mean to you? How do you want to present them? It's so unique to every hairdresser. Those notes are unique because you're authentic and those notes are unique to your authenticity. So what are your notes is what I want to leave with everybody today. Is like, what are the notes that you want to leave people lingering in their experience with you at the end of the session? What are those notes?
Exactly. And a lot of people, I guess, they're so focused on the service and getting the client in and out in a timely manner that they kind of miss all these kind of other things, or it's rushed, or do you want a coffee? Or then the client has to go and get it themselves, or that's all part of their experience. That's all part of their senses, right? Mm-hmm. Now they have to look with their eyes and see where the coffee machine is and all this kind of stuff. Or it's really looking at things a lot differently. And to say, how is that client going to leave? Are they going to rebook with you again? Or are they going to be, oh, that's nice, I'll call. And yeah, do they ever call? Most times they don't. Yeah. You know, so you want to make sure that these clients are advocates. They're so blown away. And for you being in the moment, you don't even remember it because you're just in the moment with them. Mm-hmm. You know, symbiotic, you're kind of connected. You're this little amoeba that moves together in you know, synchrocy. As I say, because I'm imagining now that I'm going back to more the feeling, but as I say, but I'm seeing in my mind, I'm hearing the sounds, I'm getting that, like what I see, what I hear, what I smell, mm-hmm. you know, what kind of experience that is, and what a great experience it is. Because what better way, and that's a much better way to talk about that kind of day than a gossip kind of day. We already covered gossip, so if you missed it, you'll have to rewind a little bit and watch that. But that's such a better, more positive. Then you come home refreshed. You come home invigorated. You come home feeling like you made a difference in somebody's life. You don't feel like you're burned out, and you can't wait to come back in and do it all over again.
Mm. I totally agree with you. And, you know, there's another part that actually when you were talking, you know, if we're going to, I'm going to start touching on the next sense just slowly.
Go ahead. Yeah.
Which is touch. Yeah, touch. Mm-hmm. And there's this really, I had this amazing experience once. I was in Melbourne and there was this salon that I went into, and I was checking out salons at the time in terms of experiences, and I was building up Evolve and Head Ed and all the rest of it, and I was checking out these experiences, and they actually had a townhouse, and it was mm-hmm. a salon that they'd actually created. And what they did is, central hub of this salon was the kitchen. And I love this concept, yeah. Right? I loved it. I really, really, yeah. really appreciated it because it was very new and it was very fresh. But what I loved about it was community orientated. Mm-hmm. So what they did is they is like when you went to this salon, it's like going to someone's home. So there was this immediate tactile experience of going into the kitchen, getting a coffee, having a chat over the counter with your stylist in the kitchen. You know, this yes. really great, like there was food on the kitchen bench. It was like coming home to mama's house, you know. Mm-hmm. There was food on the kitchen bench. And then they had breakout rooms. So the house was actually every room in the house was there was a color room, there was a cutting mm-hmm. room, there was a parlor for beauty. There was all these spaces, but the central hub was the kitchen around the kitchen bench, this huge big kitchen island. And this is touch, this is tactile, this is engaging all the senses all at once with your clients. So mm-hmm. I wanted to bring this into the flavor of this conversation we're having yeah. because there was so many different variants of having an experience with your clients that doesn't necessarily mean need it to be sterile. You know, mm-hmm. Having an Arab background, that environment actually attracted me more. Because I have that, my nature, my cultural nature is, and this is another little thread that I want to bring in here, is the cultural mm-hmm. nature of who you are culturally. And if yes. culturally, if you're Mediterranean or you're Arabian or Spanish or whatever it is that you are, maybe that you come from this background or mm-hmm. French, whatever it is, that you actually bring the culture of your truth and authenticity into that experience. And allow people to really experience the pleasure of being in another world. And mm-hmm. this is like, hey, let's get even deeper. You're creating a world here. You're creating a bubble. You're creating a zone where people can slip out of reality and into this reality, into your reality, where they're having this tactile experience. They go, wow, that just popped every, like my smell, my vision, my hearing, mm-hmm. my taste, my touch. It just like they walk out like exploding mm-hmm. with life and aliveness.
And yeah, that's great.
Yeah. That's the power that you have in the experience that you create with your clients. It's not just the hair that they walk out with, but the aliveness. Mm-hmm. That they're enriched with as well.
Exactly. And just being immersed in the culture. So a lot of people, you know, mm-hmm. why not get your clients engaged in your culture? Why not have a day where you honor the clients or Saturday and say, we're going to bake goods. We're going to have, you know, treats for all the clients that come in. These are from my homeland. Mm-hmm. This is the kind of music from my homeland. This is the type of, you know, why not have that, like, or make it an event. Or if you have clients from different nationality, or sorry, if you have a staff from different nationalities, why not have it as a group thing, a communal thing, or have it at today, we're going to look at French culture. What's something from your culture that what's your time? I think it kind of makes it fun in the shop because then they're not just listening to the same music. Yes, music is important, but having something from your culture, I think is important too. And I think it also connects clients to you even more so, you know, because we're one of the few businesses where people actually pay us to touch them. And having that tactile, like you said, they're grabbing the mug, they're leaning on the counter, they're getting all their senses, you know, heightened. They're getting to that point of bliss or living their fullest life. Who's to say they can't live their fullest life in your salon? So when they go in, they step out from the street and now they're in Egypt. Now they're in France. Now they're in, you know, the Mediterranean. Now they're in. Why not set up those culture days or have theme days if you want, right? Thank you for joining us. So the same, if you're jumping in, you can kind of like be part of that and you can share and say, today we're celebrating so-and-so. And they're like, wow, I never knew that they listened to that was this type of music from the Mediterranean. I never knew that these kind of treats were, there's so much that you can do, connect, And you can connect that with something else by having some type of promotional as well, or holiday seasons coming up, or you can do that too. But then they're really getting to know you and you're really getting to know them. You know, and I think it's a great way. Or if you have maybe an older client who's from Italy who hasn't been in 20 years, you know, and today you decide, hey, we're going to play, this client's coming in, we're going to play some Italian love songs when this client comes in, only when that client comes in. And then they're like, oh, I remember this song. It's great things that shows that you're really thinking about them, right? So you can have your Spotify playlist done. You can have all that kind of stuff. It's amazing. We've already talked like almost an hour and a half, which means it's that time. We initially said, okay, we'll do 30 minutes. 30 minutes should be fine. But both now have been like an hour and a half, which I think is kind of a good time, but it's like getting everything in there. And as I say, we still got 10 more to go and we have so much in here. So if you haven't heard today, we're talking about the sensory body. So on part one, we talked about the physical body, and then coming up, Mariana will let you know as we sign off, but I love everybody's here. So if you just came on and you're watching live, put live. If you're watching the replay, put replay. If you do have any questions, you can also put that in there as well. And we love to interact with you. And for anybody that is, we'll give you a shout out because we are live and we love to interact and we love to create our little podcast family here over the next past 2 weeks and the next 10 weeks. And then we may do some bonus stuff as well. So before we kind of wrap up in the next few minutes, and then we can always touch on stuff in future podcasts as well, if we kind of missed anything, just to kind of so now they have that full experience. If you want to kind of highlight and just go over each sense again and just give like a brief little meaning to it.
I'm going to do something even better. I'm going to get everybody that's on this call to just maybe close their eyes just for a second and just let's just feel the senses in the body. Let's just have an embodied experience of them, because we've taught them to death. In the hour and
exactly.
a half, it's so much. So let's feel them, you know, let's just close our eyes for a minute. We'll open them in a sec, but take a deep breath in and smell the aromas that are in your space right now and bring them into your body. And then let that drop into your sense, into your body of smell, and maybe observe how that breath and the smell that's come in with the breath, how that's affected you, or has it shifted you? Is there anything new that's actually been communicating into your inner body, into your inner world? And then while that's lingering there, just tune into your sense of hearing and bring in the sounds that are in your environment and bring that into your sense of smell. So what you're smelling and what you're hearing's in your body right now, and see how that's informing you. And then open your eyes and actually look around just very softly with just a soft gaze of your aesthetic environment. And see that layer and how that's informing you along with your sense of smell, your hearing, what you've heard, and now what you're seeing. And if you have a drink there with you, you can have a sip of it right now and see whether that's complementary to what you're smelling, what you're hearing, what you're seeing. And if you don't have a drink, lick your lips. And just like have this moment of taste connection. And then at the same time that that's happening, maybe touch your skin or something that you're sitting on, like a fur or a cushion or your couch or your chair or whatever it is that you're sitting on, and actually allow your sense of touch to come in. And these layers that are built up, and just slowly, slowly just start becoming attuned to how each sense communicates to your body one step at a time. How it informs you, how it expands you, how it enriches you, and how it propels you to want to move forward. What choices you'll make from this information. And that, just in that, is the importance of the sensory body.
Yeah, I can feel it. I can feel it. As I say, when you're in tune with all that stuff, you really, I'm almost calm now, because you know how I am a 14-hour day. I have so much energy. So much, but it's kind of nice to just be there to feel the stuff. As I say, if you have a drink or had a snack, as I say, even touching your lips, like, do you taste salt? Do you taste, you know, whatever, your lipstick, your gloss, whatever it might be. Sort of thing. So I hope everybody's enjoying the series. So this today was part two, the sensory body. If you haven't, or if you missed part of it, you can always rewind, see it again, sort of thing. If you have any questions, you can put them in the comments and we'll be sure to get to you. So also remember to follow on Facebook. So Facebook page is Hairstylist Empowerment Podcast, where you can see it. You can also go to Mary Anna's page as well, which is Head Ed. You can follow on Instagram, which mine is Brad Celebrity Hairstylist, Mary Anna's head.ed.evolve. And then this has been brought to you by Beauty Industry Cruises. So we kind of put it all together where we can use all these senses to see the sunsets, smell the ocean, taste the food, do all that sort of thing. And we have some great stuff coming up as well. As I say today, it's been brought to you by Beauty Industry Cruises, powerful education, beautiful destinations. Stay tuned as more events are being announced. The Halloween, if you like being scared and you like Fright Night, October 27th to November 1st, we're heading to the Caribbean in Puerto Plata and the Richard Branson's Private Beach Club in Bimini. We're going there as well. And then we're going to beautiful Australia come January 27th to February 1st, 2024. And then also the Mediterranean, where we're going to do that June 2nd to June 9th. So, and that's 2024. So I want to say thank you everyone for joining us here, and we'll see everybody. Get ready. See, and or do you have any closing notes before we wrap up?
Yeah, I'm just
and what are we going to talk about next week?
Oh, yeah. Well, we're going to talk about the emotional body next week, because ooh, that's
sure our audience juicy, they don't get emotional.
That's the next juicy little layer of communication in the self that we're going to be talking about. And I also want to let everybody know that we are currently here at Headed actually taking enrollments for the Evolve 2024 program. So we're only taking 20 people for next year's enrollments. So if you're interested in actually deepening and becoming a professional, a holistic professional, and understanding the theory and having the certification behind this evolved sense of self, then give us a call here at Head Ed, because we are open for that at the moment and enrollments are open. But, the emotional body next week, It's the deepest, it's the most cathartic and confrontational body, I have to say, which is why I keep it as a third body. But it is the next layer of communication that happens in the body before we get to the next body, which I won't share just yet. Share it next podcast. But, yes. The emotional body, bring it all to the table, bring it here with us on our next call, and let's unpack how our emotions govern and communicate and direct our sessions without us even knowing it.
Yeah, and that one itself, I know, probably easily is 90 minutes.
They all are.
Exactly. So I want to thank you, everyone, for joining us, and we'll see you next time.